Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Hold on, just making sure my phone is on silence. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax. Let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above. So here we are today, Tuesday, the 24th of March, and we find ourselves in the new moon energy. We find ourselves in a new human design week, and we find ourselves in the throes of new energy dictating the trajectory of our collective life path over the next several months. So we have a bit to talk about today. For today's show, it would be recommended to have your human design chart with you, as your human design chart is going to come in handy as I talk about the different things to do with the week coming up and with some of the general energies at hand. So good morning, everybody who's checking in. I see Mimi so far, and I'm sure others will be joining us here shortly. So how did everybody do last evening? The new moon occurred at 2:29 a.m. my time, 5:29 a.m. for you all in the east, 9:29 this morning for those of you in Europe and beyond later in the morning. So how did you do? How was your day? How was your experience? Mine was a bit crazy as I, in the very dark of the moon, just before the new moon, woke up because there were lights in my bedroom that I couldn't figure out where they were coming from. Still haven't figured out where they were coming from. But consequently, it set the tone for restlessness for me the rest of the night because I was worried about what were those lights? Was I looking at flashlights? Was I looking at aliens? Who knows? I mean, really seriously, not thinking aliens, but it was very odd. And so the rest of my evening was sort of, you know, I wake up, go to sleep, wake up, go to sleep. It was kind of funny. But that was my new moon experience. I think it really wasn't so much about the new moon as it was about the intense nature of the energies that are happening out there. It's official. Now, Washington is a shelter in place state. However, we call it stay home, stay healthy. And he never once said shelter in place during his press conference yesterday. It was stay home, stay healthy. And I thought, well, that's an interesting spin on what's happening, but it is indeed probably the right course of action for the weather having, you know, warmed up a bit. People were out and about and doing the things that they knew they shouldn't be doing. So it was so interesting to sit and listen to that and the surreal nature of that, even though I think the entire state, we knew it was coming. The number of deaths has increased to up over 100, 110, as I think it was yesterday. So it is coming home to roost. And I think the more that we do to cooperate, today's a day of cooperation with what the powers that be request of us. And when I say powers to be, I'm not saying things like the president or the governor even. I'm saying those people who are in the know, the ones that we know, that we trust, that have, you know, good pieces of information for us. Those are the people we want to be listening to. All of the other politicals and politicos, they actually have probably some kind of an agenda. So I prefer to listen to the medical professions, the people that are out there on the periphery, or even the ones that are on the front line doing things for the health of all. Now, that's not even to say that I believe that, you know, that the president or the governors or the political people aren't telling us the truth. I just think that sometimes they have agendas that we don't see, right? There's sort of something going on under the surface. You may not be able to put your finger on it, but there's something going on. So they're spinning, they're spin doctors, right? So also I'm really heartened by how I see things piling up out there in the world to show how community is coming together. Remember, we're supposed to be charting, you and me both are supposed to be charting the things that we're seeing out in the world that show us about how things could be with Saturn in Aquarius as we move ahead for the next couple of months with Saturn in Aquarius, and then how we will see that after he moves back retrograde into Capricorn and then again out into Aquarius in December. What can we look for the coming 2 years? Now, some of the stuff that we've been seeing, that I've been seeing, has been a little bit scary, a little bit weird, but overall, what I'm seeing is community. What I'm seeing is my daughter's friend taking a bunch of material and making masks for the people that my daughter works with in the medical profession, so that they are protected, because masks are in short supply. And so our gowns and gloves, all of the things that, you know, you hear about are really true. And even in the little town of Cedro Woolley, you know, tucked away here in rural Skagit County, the fact is that the shortages that they're talking about are true, right? That part is true. So I'm heartened to see how people, small, just an individual taking material and doing what she can. She's also been in the medical profession, so she knows what's required. Companies that are trying to pump out things that the medical profession needs. Even Hanes, the underwear company, right? Famously their underwear, you know, turning underwear into masks that can protect against the health, for the health workers to not get the coronavirus. So there's a lot of really good things going on. And those are the things that I want us to note, right? Because these are the high side, the potential for what comes as Saturn moves further and further into the sign of Aquarius. So that was one thing I noted yesterday. Other corporations also jumping in to help where they can. I know it's a process, and I know it's something that, you know, a lot of people have said the president should, you know, put those factories to work making these things. And he's neglected to do that, or he's hesitant to do that. But on their own, people are jumping in and filling that gap. So that's a great sign for us moving forward. Good morning to Debbie Hedden. It's great to see you. Linda Marie, good morning. Marjorie Roth, morning. I am not in red. I'm in orange. I wonder if it's just my lighting in here that makes this look weird, but thank you very much. That's quite sweet of you. Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel says, good morning. And Natasha Venter, I saw you there a moment ago, but the comments, they go by so fast. I missed it, but hello to you. It's great to see you. Alisa Garcia, good morning. And here we go. Let's talk about what is happening today. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk a little about astrology, and we're going to talk a lot about human design today because of all of the things that are going on in the universe at the moment. Human design has overtaken astrology, although that doesn't mean there's nothing going on in astrology either. Let's talk a little bit about that, and then we'll move on to some of the, some of the other things that I want to talk about in terms of human design. So because we had the new moon last night in Aries, we know we are still in the moon in Aries throughout the entire day today. We have today a very easy day when it looks like, because there's no real transits happening other than the new moon. So the new moon and all of the things that we talked about yesterday that were a part of that new moon are still in effect. So nothing new popping up necessarily on the screen today, other than the things that we talked about yesterday, the sun conjunct the moon, and the sun and moon very close to Chiron, and the black moon Lilith and Salacia, and how that is a process of healing, working through healing. We talked yesterday about the degree that the moon was at and the nodes that were where they were. So we've done a lot of chatting about that new moon. So I don't want to drag us into that too much today. But here yesterday, while yesterday was our more cautious day in terms of, you know, feeling that really good energy from the one feeling energy in the Pleiadian Earth calendar, where we were having to hold ourselves back maybe just a little bit so that we could be in alignment with the new moon. Well, today's that day, right, where we have the open doors, the open gates, and the open, the promise of new and the new beginning to actually be able to step out into the world with that. Now, tomorrow and Thursday are going to be interesting days. As remember now, let me show you the chart. So I'm going to quickly go over here and make sure I have that chart open and share my screen with you, because remember the moon is in Aries, and when the moon is in Aries, it is going to trigger by square or a 90 degree angle, the planets that are over here in Capricorn. And right now you can see these little tick lines right here. These are the planets, Pallas Athena, Jupiter, Pluto, Mars, and Saturn's over here. His little tick line is at the 0 degree. You can just see it right there. It's like an extension of this line here. But they're all very close together, relatively speaking. And that means as our moon gets later into the sign of Aries, we're going to end up with that moon squaring these planets. And so likely as we move into Wednesday, and particularly on Thursday, the world could be a little crazy yet again. There are going to be some challenges that crop up. And not only does the moon move into a square with the late degrees of planets here in Capricorn, the moon itself actually begins the move into Taurus on Thursday and comes into a conjunction with the planet Uranus after passing Eris. So we have a couple days. If you note in your chart, you know, for those of you who actually ordered one at the beginning of the year, you got your chart that looks like this grid. Have you noticed that the 25th and the 26th are in red? They're in red for a purpose, right? That those are tricky days. And maybe for you personally, they may not be as tricky, but the world itself is going to be a little tricky looking those days. Now, tricky meaning there can be some upsetting things. There could be some, you know, who knows, more of the same, because nothing's really changing except for every day something's changing. Something gets worse. So we are looking at the possibility of some kind of an awakening or an aha, maybe a revelation coming up later this week. And that all because the moon finishing her transit through the sign of Aries triggers all of those Capricorn planets and then moves on into Taurus to come into a conjunction with the planet Uranus. So, and then on to Venus later on in the week. So we have some interesting astrological energy coming up if we just look at the moon. Now, we also have a couple of Chiron transits to talk about today. They're minor ones, with the exception of the Sun conjunct Chiron, which we actually talked about yesterday, because the Sun and the Moon were very close to Chiron in the new moon window. And that means that the Sun will move on to come into an exact conjunction to Chiron, where we are open to new ways of healing, maybe new and untried or more holistic ways of healing our bodies through the coronavirus or any other virus for that matter. You know, right now with the planet Saturn in Aquarius, it also stimulates technology and innovation. And Uranus is a planet that actually rules genius expressions and new technologies. You find real inventiveness when planets come into contact with Uranus. So the potential is maybe what we hear about later in the week is some new breakthrough vaccine or some breakthrough treatment for the coronavirus or any other viruses or things that are going on in the healthcare world. So that it could be a good surprise as well as maybe, you know, something we didn't expect. So that's coming up later. Sun conjunct Chiron, though, adding into that energy of alternative healing, right? And looking at new ways of healing. So I'm really interested to see how that's going to show up. There is also Venus in a semi-square to Chiron. Venus, as you know, is in the sign she rules, Taurus. We've talked about that. She is there until April 3rd when she'll move on into Gemini. But for now, she's in a sign that she rules. And so it's very easy for us to get into our values, to deal with our relationships, and to deal with financial issues. Now, when she's coming into a semi-square, though, there's tension. And that can be tension as we see incorrectly the things that are going on, right? We might be seeing them through either rose-colored glasses, where we want to see that all is well and that we're not noticing the problems, or at the other end of things where we see nothing but problems, right? It skews us really to see the differences in everything rather than how it is that we're alike. So if that's pertaining to your relationships, you can see it could be a separating feature this week and not one that brings us together. We have to work harder, I think, to be more aware of when it is that we're getting into judgment. You're going to hear that word again. When we are not being, when we are, we're being too much focused in how we're different instead of what are the things that bring us together and make us alike. So there's that. So let me take a look quick at the Facebook page now and see how things are going there. Jacqueline Lopez, great to see you. Same here, just the school has their own domain, so it's made it a bit confusing. Replying to Jacqueline, never mind. Jacqueline says, been so busy and I miss coming on. New York City has our kids and parents learning a new platform to help our kids continue education, likely for online education is what I would bet. And it's funny, Jacqueline, because I had this knowing this morning that you hadn't been on in the last few days. And I was like, oh man, I hope she is not ill. So I'm really glad to see you and to know that all is well, that you're just busy with kids and so forth. So carry on. And you can always listen to us later in the day when you get a chance. Okay. So no questions that I see here. So let's go on to talk a little bit about human design. As I told you all yesterday, we are today moving into a new series of contacts, this time by the Earth in the spleen. And in October and November, we deal with the energy of the spleen where the sun is sitting at all of the gates of the spleen. One by one, all of those gates are triggered. Well, when we move into March and April, we get to, and partly May in this year, we come to a point in time where what we're looking at is the Earth sitting at those very gates of the spleen. So week by week, the sun will move through a different gate, and some of those gates that the sun moves in through the next couple of weeks are challenging. And then you put the Earth in the gates on the spleen, and now we have the potential for the expression of those gates through fear. And maybe an exaggeration of the fear field on the planet. And so knowing this ahead of time, though, we get this opportunity to understand that if fear starts to ramp up within us, that we are tapping into the collective, right? So we don't have to do that. That's why I like to come on and talk about these things, because as we talk about them more and more, you become more and more aware of the effect that the movement of these planets has on you as an individual, but also on us as a collective, right? You're part of the collective. And that means that every reaction you have, every response you make applies itself to that collective, either for positive or for not so positive, right? So it all depends on how it is that you're, what you're thinking about and what it is that you're doing. So right now I'm going to bring up, hold on while I bring this up, and then I'm going to show you the human design chart for the day. And what did I call that blooming thing? I think I called it the just now chart. We'll see here if I get to J. IJ. Yes, I know the alphabet, but sometimes. Okay, where are you? Okay, hold on, let me find it. Okay, is it on my desktop? What the heck? Is it a download? It's a download. Here we go, guys. So let me pull this or share my screen and... voila, there we have. This is what the chart of the day looks like for human design. It is very similar to, it is basically for all intents and purposes, we're looking at a reflector chart. There are no defined centers. All of the centers are white. And that means there's no new centers likely being defined by virtue of a defined center here. However, all of these hanging gates could be connected to gates in your own human design that then make a center turn on, if you will, or become defined. So for example, the gate 61 is right now being defined by Pluto, Jupiter, and Mars. And is it still Mars? Let's see, where is Mars today? Still at 61, and Pluto still at 61, and Jupiter still at 61. So we have, you know, three planets right here at this particular gate. And if you happen to have gate 24 defined in your natal human design, the whole channel of rationalization is now defined. And that means that turns on the head center and it turns on the ajna. And that's happening for me. I think my moon sits at the gate 24. So for right now, my head and my ajna are turned on. So it's real easy for me then to forget that I am not meant to be in tapping into only one set of beliefs or have certainty about anything, because in my natal chart, these are open. But right now, I may be becoming inspired by those same things over and over. I may be finding myself, you know, struggling with certainty about what's going on and so forth. So that is just one way in which you could connect. Now, today, the sun has moved into the gate 17 right here on the Ajna, and it's reaching down to the throat at gate 62. Now, the gate 17 is a really interesting gate because it's very powerful in the logic sequence of human design, in the logic circuit, we would call it, or the understanding circuit, we call it as well. So we have dual names where logic is just one term and understanding is basically the same kind of term, but just a different name for the circuit that really takes us into an understanding of how patterns develop and observing patterns and then our ability to predict an outcome based on a pattern. So the gate 17 is our entry point into that. If we were looking at the scientific method, for example, this would be where we state a hypothesis, where we prepare to go out and prove the hypothesis is true or disprove it. So the gate 17 is beginning that journey of recognizing patterns. And it is also called a gate of opinions, because in science, a hypothesis is really just an opinion until it has proof. And that's what the gate 17 is all about. Where's the proof? Now, this is a gate that will drive maybe some interesting debate and discussion as a sort of launching pad for future, the future of everybody, right? Or the future of well-being of the population. So what we're seeing this week then is this very powerful energy to go out and test things, right? Let's test our hypotheses and see if they work, if they stand the test of time, and that if they stand the test of testing through other people and other labs, for example. So if I was a lab and I was testing a drug, and in my lab, all of my results are positive and show that my hypothesis is correct, that's not enough in science, right? Other labs now have to be able to recreate the same experiment and get the same sort of results in order for that hypothesis then, or that opinion, to become true or to become fact. So here we have the awareness of an idea, the awareness of a potential, but no facts to back it up yet, right? The facts come later after time and testing and further pushing into the logic circuit. So when we look at this gate, the sun puts a lot of powerful energy here. And how interesting that we're dealing with a pandemic where we have a lot of labs and scientists right now applying their skills and their skills and talents to trying to find a cure or a vaccine or ways to treat it that are new and different. So this gate promotes kind of innovation and the testing of hypotheses. So for example, when you hear people that are non-scientists come out and say, this drug is proved to work wonders, and then our FDA going, wait, not so fast, that has not been proven, that is where you're sharing opinion versus where you are sharing an actual hypothesis turned theory. I hope you guys get that, right? It seems very scientific, but the logical mind is very scientific, or science uses or relies upon the logical mind. Now, I'm not saying that logic is all that it's, you know, cracked up to be, because there's other ways of knowing as well. And if you look at this particular gate, the 17, through the gene keys, what you see is the shadow energy, the fear field energy is opinion, right? Everybody has an opinion, right? Everyone has an opinion, whether they're right or wrong, you know, hasn't been tried, hasn't been tested. And we can't, you know, say that what you're saying is true. Even me, right? If what I'm telling you, you need to go out and test for yourself. That's the nature of the shadow here, is where opinions get spouted off or shared as truths. And then we discover later they're not true. But if we move from the shadow to the gift frequency, what we see is farsightedness, right? The ability to see out down the line, down to the future, where we can take our ideas and our inspiration and we can test them. And through that testing, maybe we have to test 1,000 times. Maybe we have to test 2,000 times before we hit upon the right combination of things that can then become a proven theory. So we have farsightedness, and in the highest expression, we have omniscience. That is such a fascinating word, right? Omniscience, knowing all, knowing all. So we take farsightedness and we move it into that energy that we often think of as related to God, right? God or source energy, being omniscient, all-knowing, all-seeing, all just all-knowing. So we have a really interesting week with the sun energy. But we also have the earth involved, and the earth is going to be sitting right here at the gate 18, and this is the spleen. I'm going to see if I can magnify this a bit and bring, I want to see if I can I slide that up? Oh yeah. So here we go. This is the spleen. Now on your chart, if you're looking at your chart, you may see this in a completely different view, right? This may look, it may be colored in brown, which means you have a defined spleen. If it's colored in brown in your chart, likely one of these channels is connected to another center, either through to the root center, or maybe through to the sacral, or maybe up to the identity center, or maybe even completely up to the throat center for manifestation and communication. So this particular center is the center for time, intuition, health, and it is also survival energy. So this is the most primal energy we have in our human design. I relate it sort of to the reptile brain, right? The vestiges of the evolution of humankind, where we were much more attuned to the animal world, perhaps with that reptilian brain that is very survival oriented. So the spleen here takes us into survival energy. And remember, several months back, I showed you a chart like this, and we named the energies in these centers. And the energy name, for example, in the identity center, we called it love, right? And then the sacral was about work. And the root center was about endurance. The spleen was the center that was called success. And success, you know, it not in the success of the species, let's say, not the success like your work success or your success as an individual, but collective success of a species. And we've done that, right? We've done that. And that is partly why this is morphing over the next 7 years into your entire human design is changing to the elimination, if you will, or the relegation to the past of the spleen into the prominence of the emotional center. But now, as we have the earth moving through every one of these gates, we get the opportunity to really clear that fear field in our own energies. So what are we going to be looking at? Well, one after another, from now until May 1st, we have the earth, which seeks evolution. So when we're looking at the sun up here at the gate 17 shines this gigantic spotlight on what it is that we're meant to take in. So we're meant to take in this idea of farsightedness and omniscience, right? And then down here, the earth lays down a challenge for us to be able to work through to get there. And what do we have to work through? Well, we're working through the energy of judgment. The gate 18 is a gate that fears that we are not perfect. And so we are constantly judging one another, judging ourselves, holding ourselves back from expressing the truth of who we are because we're afraid it's not done yet, that we don't know enough, or that something's not right. There's a fear that holds us back. But this is also where our beliefs and our traditions have an opportunity to become more wholesome and healthy, right? This is a gate that can see where we're out of alignment, like where things have gotten skewed. So for all of us, we may be able to see more clearly in our own energies where we're not in alignment with that, and where we can reevaluate the unbalanced parts of ourselves to be able to see our way forward down the farsightedness to a more flourishing future. So there's really positive energy here, but there's also that possibility that the fear energy holds sway. And that's because, right, that field of fear energy on the planet is so powerful. Now, each one of us has the opportunity and the responsibility while we're in this week's energy and these next several weeks to really look at the impact this fear might be having in your own world, in your own life, right? And are you expressing or seeking success through constantly judging and criticizing, right? This is a possibility. Now, for those of you who by birth have the 17 and 18 in their chart, meaning that you're born this time of the year, or that one of the quarter days where these are flipped in different ways, you are dealing with this energy always, right? The energy of sharing your opinions only with an invitation, and sharing your criticisms, your judgments only with opinion, only with an invitation. And this is so interesting because you cannot be successful if you're constantly spouting criticism to people, because they'll stop listening, right? Or they will separate you away from others. And then that begins to really undermine your own energy. So these two energies are really about, they're not part of the throat, right? But they're both aiming at the throat, perhaps, or wanting to get to the throat. This one doesn't even have direct access to the throat, right? So our energies of perfection and judgment and criticism don't make it to the throat unless there are other energies that help it get there. So anytime in this week that you feel like you need to share an opinion, or that you need to speak up and tell somebody that they're not in alignment with something, watch your step, right? You can't do that and be successful at it by just spouting. It's always better if you ask first. I've observed a few things about this project that you're working on. May I share my opinion with you? And you wait for a yes or a no. And if you get a no, you must wait. You can't share. If they say yes, then you have an opportunity. And then it's not that the people that have 17 and 18 are mean-spirited or that they don't speak to things in a positive way. It's that it's not received by others in a positive way because there wasn't an invitation first. So we'll want to be watchful of that. Now, all of us are going to have this gate, these two gates defined in our chart. So those of you who aren't used to this kind of way of working in your life, who just suddenly want to spout out that dress looks horrible on you, why don't you change your clothes? Or, you know, whatever, people share opinions all the time, but maybe catch yourself this week, stop yourself and wait for that invitation. Either just wait for someone to say, hey, what do you think about this? Or you could say, I've been observing you in this project and I'd love to share a couple of insights if that's okay. That's the kind of way that we need to work with this energy this week. So we're reevaluating the unbalanced part of ourselves so that we can set ourselves up for a flourishing future by using farsightedness, right, and omniscience. At the same time, we're engaging in debate and discussion as a launching pad for our well-being, for the well-being of everyone. And we see this, I don't know about how things are going for those of you in other parts of the world, but here in the United States, our Congress right now is again engaged in an epic battle of separation and polarization and division over who gets what in the economic stimulus package. Now, debate and discussion are valid, right? We need the debate and the discussion as a launching pad for our future well-being as a people. And what I think they're missing in all of this is, you know, we have one side that is upset because there's too much for corporations, too many benefits for corporations. And on the other side, these people, you know, are wanting these benefits for corporations and not as much going to the common people. And the opportunity here for everybody is to start working together in a new way and say, wait a minute, you know, we've got to give and take here. We need our corporations to be healthy because they support the jobs, but we also need our people over here who don't have jobs to have something, a safety net for the next couple of months until we get these corporations back on their feet. So there's a real opportunity right now for people to come together in ways that can finally, hopefully, start, you know, moving us past this division and this polarization. So there we have that. And in your own countries or in the world at large, you know, you're likely seeing that in some way, shape, or form. You might be seeing it through your groups or through the communities that you're a part of, through your nation, and certainly on a global scale, we're seeing this need for us to be able to deal with those unbalanced parts of ourselves. So the next several weeks are all going to be about how do we balance the potential for these success energies, the pushing us for survival to turn into fear, and how do we deal with the fear should it pop up, right? And the way to deal with the fear is to look at it squarely, embrace it, understand that it's a part of what has kept you alive for millenniums, and that it is a part of who we are as human beings, but it doesn't have to define you, right? That fear does not define you. And the moment that we embrace it, the nature of the spleen energy is time. Remember, time, intuition, health. Time is in the now in the spleen. The moment that you choose to feel that fear and live with that and just say, thank you very much for informing me, and move forward fearlessly, is the moment that that fear loses its hold on you. So the nature of time in the spleen is also on our side here, in that the moment we choose to, it disappears or dissipates, and maybe it doesn't even come back. The more times that we allow that to happen, the more opportunity we have to erase the fear field on the planet, and I'm all for that. Okay. Anything else I want to say about that? Quickly, I want to just go, you're going to see me pop back over here. Jacqueline says, kids took over my computer and laptop. Jacqueline says, that would be me. It's hanging in my chart, if I'm correct. Deb Johnson says, I think I should have been a scientist. Courtney Robinson, good morning, sweetie. It's good to see you. I think I should have been I went to college to be a scientist. When I was a teenager, I wanted to be a meteorologist, a weather girl. And that was funny because I flew up here to Washington as a gift from my sisters for my graduation, my high school graduation. And I was literally, if it wasn't for a boyfriend, I would have literally gone to the University of Washington and I would have ended up as a meteorologist. That was my goal. After I had kids, that's when I went back to school. And that is when I started studying biology and chemistry, again, with the idea of being a scientist, which at that point I thought, no, I don't want to be a scientist, but I wanted to teach high school biology and chemistry. And then that blew up on me suddenly at my Uranus opposition. I ended up into metaphysics. So science has served me well. But there's this whole other part of me that was just begging to be expressed, right? That wasn't the logical, sequential, concrete thinker. There's this whole other part of me, the other Gemini twin, that was very much more spiritual and very much more creative and wanting to express a different side of myself, which eventually wins. But now in my position, what I do with all of you is to be able to merge those two, right? So it's an interesting path, right? When you start looking at your life and what you chose and how life chose you for you in some cases, and how that all has served to bring you to where you are right now. So I love that that aspect of us. Okay, so I don't see any questions popping up about the spleen or about what to expect over the next week with the spleen. So now I am going to transition over to something else that's happening today in our human design. So again, hopefully you still have your human design chart up. So in astrology and in human design, we have the nodes. You might have heard them called the dragon's head and the dragon's tail. You hear me talk about the axis, the nodal axis. I showed that to you. I think it was yesterday. Maybe it was last week. I showed you, I outlined the nodal axis where the south node, which is the collective talents, gifts, experiences from the past, the dragon's tail then meant to be poured outward toward the north node or the dragon's head, where we are using the gifts and talents and experiences that we've had in new and crazy ways, right? New and extraordinary ways. And the north node then shows us our destiny. We could call it the destiny line as well, where our karma, our fate, our experiences from over here are poured out in toward a new experience of the nodes in the north node in a chart. So we all have a place in our personal astrology charts and our personal human design that shows us what our nodes are, and that shows us our life path trajectory. We come into this life and we keep trying to do things the same old way, which would be the dragon's tail or the south node. And eventually we kind of go, after hitting our head on the wall several times, we go, maybe I need to move in a different direction. So we begin to move forward toward the destiny point or the north node. Now, in human design, and in astrology, those nodes also transit. That means they're moving from one sign to another, from one degree to another within a sign, and from one gate to another within your human design. Now, these nodes had been sitting at gate 52 and gate 58, teaching us about isolation, teaching us about quiet, teaching us about solitude, teaching us to find joy within. And that joy wasn't something that we were meant to look for outside of us, that it was within us all along. Those were the lessons and the trajectory that the collective was moving through over the last several months. Now we are moving into new gates for both the south node and the north node. And they have moved up here to the identity center as of today, where the north node is sitting at gate 15, which is called the gate of the love of humanity. How appropriate, right? With Saturn moved into Aquarius and with all the things that are going on in the world right now, where the focus becomes humanity. Now, in the gene keys, we see this energy as dullness, right? Where we're just sort of lackadaisical. There's just no joy. There's no expression of fun or joyfulness. We move from that dullness toward magnetism and then ultimately to fluorescence. You betcha that we're going to be taking a look at what those words mean. All I can tell you here right now is the gate 15 is also known as the gate of extremes. So do you think that perhaps we'll see some extremes in the outer world over the next months? By the way, this is the case until August. In August, the gates will shift in the first week of August, and they will shift into a different set of gates. But for the moment, from now until August, we're going to be dealing with these extremes, perhaps the extreme expressions that can come up in this particular gate. I liken it to what we're seeing very, you know, much so in our Congress, where on one extreme we have, let's get power to the people, and on the other extreme, let's get power to the corporations, and how those extremes seem to separate us, when in reality, they're just different points of the same coin, right? We need both. Both have to be served. So how do we do that? Well, we start to really have to focus our energy on moving through that. Now, the interesting thing about this center, it's the center for love. This is the energy here of love. Remember I was talking about that model I showed us of what each of these centers mean. This center means love, energy. These are the gates of love, the love of humanity. And this one is the gate of the love of the self, self-preservation, self-absorption, right? Those could be some of the more negative energies. Self-obsession is the shadow energy of the gate 10. Naturalness and beingness are the high energies of the gate 10. And this is the south node. We're coming from the love of the self and self-obsession, and we're pouring that all of the skills and the knowledge that we've acquired as individuals, we're pouring them like the Aquarian waters, right? When you look at Aquarius, you see the jug and the waters being poured out, where we take our individuality and it's poured out into the use for the collective, right? The collective good. And this is what we're seeing with these two gates for the next several months. Oh, that was the other thing I was going to tell you here. This is the center that where the energy, the primary energy coming out of there is about love, right? Love of humanity, love of self, love of the physical, love of spirit, leadership energy, the energy of creativity and self-expression, and the energy of forgiveness and the energy of receiving. All of that sits on this identity center, whose energy is all about love, but it is also a magnet. This entire center and every gate on it have magnetic qualities. And the magnet nature of that center is one way. It draws in, right? It pulls toward itself. And that means that all of us all the time have, because we all have this identity center, whether yours is white or it's yellow, and whatever configuration of gates are defined or not defined on it, or hanging on it, or connected to other centers on it. It is primarily a center that is a magnet, a one-way magnet that draws to you the right opportunities, the right experiences, the right people, and in the right timing. And so this is really a center that is very important when you think about what is it that you're focusing on and the focus energy, right? This is going to draw to you, you know, without judgment, what it is that you're focusing on. So if we're focusing on self-obsession, then we're going to get more experiences around that, or more experiences of dullness if you're focused on that. Or is it going to magnetize, you know, some of the higher energies, right? Luck and opportunities and great people and teachers or pupils or whatever it is that you're focusing on. Right. So it's very important for all of us to remember for these next several months, these two gates are magnets and they're drawing things to us. Right. And what is it they're drawing to us? Well, that depends on what it is that you're focusing your energy on. Right. What you're focusing your heart energy on, what you're focusing your mind's energy on. What are you looking at day after day? That's what you're going to see more of. Right. It's like when you get a new car and then suddenly everybody on the road has a new car. And not only do they have new cars, but their new cars look just like yours. They're the same color. And you're like, wow, I never knew there were so many XYZ cars out there on the road. It's part of your reticular activating system in your brain. And the moment that you begin to focus on something, you see more and more of the same thing. So use that in a different way to say, okay, what am I focused on? Well, I'm focused on fear. So I'm seeing more and more fear. I'm seeing more and more reasons to be fearful or to be angry or to be upset. And that's because you're focusing on that. So it's really kind of clever how the universe has primed us for this. And then again, you cannot blame anybody else because you're the magnet, right? You're drawing to you the things that you're focusing on, or experiences that will be matching pictures to that. It's like the virus in the cell connecting via the little receptors that our cells have. And when they make that connection, then, you know, we could say, well, crap happens, shit happens, right? Or when it's something positive, then magic happens. So we want to kind of push ourselves to allow more magic to happen, to be the magnets for magic and for good things, for positive. And also, though, the universe does also, your identity center attracts to you the lessons that you need to learn in order to move on. But you still always have the right to choose how you're going to respond to those lessons, to those energies. All right, I'm going to stop sharing for a moment. Going back to Facebook, Lex Wolfberg, where attention goes, energy flows. That is exactly it, right? And welcome, Lex. I've never seen you in here, so it's nice to see you. Thank you for joining us this morning. And Deb says, love of our planet and its inhabitants. That's indeed. Oh dear, mine is defined in yellow. Don't be, oh dear, it is awesome. If yours is defined in yellow, then you have a defined identity. You have a defined way of loving yourself. and of attracting things to you. So if you don't like what it is that you're attracting to yourself, then you need to set about to change that, because with a, remember, that's broadcasting energy. So that's what you're broadcasting. So you need to be able to choose what it is that you really want to magnify or magnetize towards yourself. Okay. I don't see any other questions here. Let's do a quick rundown of the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. I find it's really interesting. I'm so loving the Pleiadian Earth energy. I just can't tell you enough how I love being able to see a pathway laid out in pretty clear English of our spiral of consciousness, of how we can consciously evolve each and every week through the 13 days that comprise the week in the Pleiadian Earth energy. So yesterday was the day one, right? So we began a new week yesterday with one feeling. And the feeling energy was about emotions, right? And our choice to express emotion. How do we respond versus how do we react? And that becomes the umbrella energy for the entire 13-day week. Even though there are other energies that are coming at us every day during that 13-day week, that one energy sort of is that umbrella that keeps it all sort of coherent, if you will. So if you can find the coherent thread that's moving through that in your own life, then you're seeing your own consciousness in its evolutionary state. Isn't that amazing, right? That's why I love this. So today is the day two. The two, or the number, represents the universal energy of the day and how it is that we are, whatever life form we are on the planet, whatever planet we happen to be on or solar system we happen to be in, we're universally in this energy of two. This is the pulse of duality. So this is where we take that one feeling energy and it splits into two, right? It splits in that unified impulse that came from source yesterday. Now splits into the two, right? So we see duality that pops up here. The two forces, the two faces of feeling, right? Response or reaction, right? So we are going to see that here very clearly today, maybe even in our own selves as we begin. Are we in reaction to something or are we responding? Responding is more of an activated conscious choice you're making, where reaction is much more of a knee jerk. I'm, you know, coming from some kind of stimulus energy rather than responding. So for purposes of expansion, duality was created, right? If everything stays one, then there's no growth. It's all one. But when it splits, right, with duality, we begin to be able to learn and experience the other, right? We get to experience different people. We get to experience different beliefs. We get to experience different ideologies. We get to experience those black and white, and we get to experience up and down. And unfortunately, humanity, we've taken that duality and we've used it as a tool of separation, which was never the intention. Well, it could have been the intention of spirit for us to learn how to bring that back. But our as humanity, we use that duality or that energy of difference to separate one another. So today may be a day of conflicts and oppositions, urging us to move more toward cooperation, to valuing every facet of what is happening. In other words, your opinion and my opinion, even though they may be different, are really part of something that is the same. So here we are being urged to see our differences as ways to come together and cooperate, not making one wrong and the other right, right? That is not the energy that we're meant for. So here's where we get the opportunity to practice alchemy. Remember last 13 days ago, we talked about alchemy, right? And here's our opportunity here again to practice alchemy, to seeing how the differences bring us together instead of taking us apart, right? All of our differences then are gifts to us when we're dealing with this. They're opportunities for us to correct every place in within us where we compete or where we believe we're right and you're wrong, right? Or where we are justifying our ideas or our actions as others as being correct versus others being incorrect. So we get to work with that in ourselves. Now, the earth energy of the day is devoting energy. In the Mayan calendar, this was Ak, which was the representation of the dog. And this often it was an energy about loyalty, stability, being cooperative, like thinking of bees. I think sometimes it was also represented by the bee, where the bee in a hive, right? They're part of a collective and they cooperate for the survival of their species. Right? If only. Right? Here's where we have waves of potential cooperation, creating harmony and success and prosperity and celebration when we can embrace all of that, and where we can change the world to a peaceful place through working together instead of working in opposite directions or in opposition to one another. Now, that doesn't mean that you might be working on one project and this person's working on this project, you know, in different directions perhaps, but they're all part of the same cooperative to bring something out, you know, for to be innovative or something like that. This is about loyalty and our sometimes inappropriate use of loyal energy, of the energy of loyalty, where we need to learn to choose from the heart and not from pressure from people around us or from society at large, right? What are you loyal to, right? That person that we all know and have heard time and again who berates people who aren't loyal to him or her, right? Whoever out there has that kind of behavior pressures us to sort of line up behind them. And if you don't, then you're scared of what the reaction from that person would be. That's not loyalty, right? That's not loyal. Loyalty is when you choose what it is that you want to align yourself with because it is in your highest and best, right? Your highest and best. And it's not the pressure. It's coming from your heart. It's not coming from somebody telling you, you have to, you know, line up and fly straight or else, right? That's strong arming. So we have the possibility that we're going to see more of that kind of energy showing up today as well, but always asking yourself from the heart, what am I being loyal to? Okay. Questions before I head off for the day. Let's see here. Jacqueline, Gail, good morning. Can you please pull a card for the collective today? I sure can. Let's take a look here. I know. Let's do this. Let's do one of our stories, right? Is that okay with you, Gail, if we do that? And let's look deeper at the energy of, let's look deeper at the energy of the Gate 18, mostly because I love this card. I love this woman. When I get old, I'm going to look like her, if I dare. Not that she's old either. But here's the card for the Earth at Gate 18, right? Remember, the Gate 18 is the gate of, that's a fear gate right now, sitting on the spleen. The potential for integrity is high. Love that. And I want you to also look at her forehead. What is that? A peacock, perhaps? Look at her hat and her feathers. I want to giggle when I look at her because she's just so darn cute. Okay, so let's read about that as our collective, right, for the Earth. The secret of the gift of integrity is to be able to hold your own space without reacting to your judgments or self-judgments. The gift, of course, integrity, the shadow judgment, and the Siddhi is perfection. Here's the wisdom story. From a young age, I knew something was wrong with the way women were treated in my society. My father talked down to my mother and she let him. Then she'd fret and complain behind his back, but she never spoke up for herself and encouraged the same sense of inferiority in me. In my teens, I became angry. I saw her life as sad and pathetic and promised myself I'd never be an oppressed woman. So I rejected all things mother. I spoke my mind, broke the rules, and took on the world. I became an independent, staunch feminist, refusing to be patronized. It got to a point where my father threatened to disown me. My mother tried to calm the waters, but deep down she felt ashamed of her unruly daughter. I left the country and built a new life as an activist and artist. When my parents visited, I'd watch my father condescend and my mother make nice. I felt superior to both of them, either rolling my eyes or flying off the handle. I didn't realize just how victimized I felt by my mother's victimization until I was invited to a friend's house to meet her parents. Like mine, they came from a traditional background. The father dominated the conversation, the mother nodded and smiled, but somehow my friend was still able to enjoy them and herself. Her kindness and her acceptance of their limitations brought out the best in them. I began to judge myself for having judged my mother so harshly and for not seeing how similar to my father I'd become. Ooh. Despite all we'd put her through, my mother kept treating us with respect and gentleness, never losing her temper. For the first time in my life, I saw the strength in her vulnerability. Though she could still benefit from standing up for herself, she had a capacity for compassion and compromise that I desperately needed. Thanks to her, I've devoted my life to helping people understand and work through their childhoods so they can open their hearts and live with integrity. My gift to you. I'm here to help you complete your childhood. It takes courage to uncover the wounds from your past. As you release yourself from the messages and modeling that no longer serve you, you will be free to see and receive the gifts from your parents with a soft, compassionate heart. When you are truly in your integrity, it won't be possible to take judgments of others personally or to identify as a victim of yourself or anyone else. This is not a path to be walked alone, so reach out for support. Allow a friend, a therapist, mentor, or spiritual counselor to accompany you as you revisit those painful experiences that hardened your heart or made you feel inferior or superior or kept you from expressing yourself freely and connecting deeply. Over time, you will learn to judge not from the mind, but from the heart. Here are your questions for contemplation. And of course, I will post these. Where do you tend to feel inferior or superior to others? Who are you being hard on, even if you don't like to admit it? Where is self-judgment most alive in your life? Who are you negatively comparing yourself to? In what ways does your self-judgment keep you from owning and honoring your own inner authority? And what does integrity mean to you? Name one thing you can do today to feel more in your integrity. How can perfection be an inspiration in your life rather than a driving force to an unattainable ideal? Wow. Integrity. Our lovely little hat lady. I just love her. All right. So I'm going to check real quick and make sure that was what Gail had in mind. I love her too. Yay. That's good. Okay, good. So Gail says, that sounds like my mom and my life growing up. Holy cow. I would bet you we can all resonate with that in some way. And Lex says, wow, this is speaking to me, forgiving, accepting one's childhood. Indeed. It's amazing what you find later in life when you check back and you start releasing the fear or the upset around what happened in your childhood, then forgiveness does come in and accepting comes in. Okay, that is it for me. Tomorrow I have a surprise guest coming on to share a couple of tidbits of information. She'll be with us at 8:30, even though I will be on air at 8, because tomorrow, since I did get all of the information I wanted out today about the nodes and the human design, sun and earth, I want to talk tomorrow about Venus, as Venus then moves into the next phase of her evening star cloak that she's wearing right now. And I want to talk about it because it's the wholeness, right? Wholeness that seems so intriguing to me. And I can't wait to share that. That is it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. And I hope and I wish you all a wonderful day.